Gospel of John, and it's where Jesus transforms or changes water into wine at an ordinary event that we call a wedding. Good to have you all here tonight. If you're a guest or a visitor, please know that your presence is a gift to us, and we pray that our service of word and sacrament will be a gift to you as well. Hopefully everyone, when they came in, was able to pick up the communion that we need. If not, please make sure you get one before we begin. We have gluten-free, we have also grape juice, but we also have the wine and the bread as well. It's fitting, I think, when we are celebrating the wedding in Cana, that we would also have the marriage feast of the Lamb, and that we would celebrate the gift, the wedding gift, of the body and blood of Jesus as well. A few announcements that I want to make sure that you're aware of. Giving statements, that's the year-end giving statements for your tax purposes. Those are available in the back, and so please make sure you get those. Larry, you have those, right? Julie has those now, okay? So make sure you get those. Also, we have our annual report. It was electronically delivered, but it's in printed form, one per household. And so if you need a printed copy, please take a copy of that. You've got 2 weeks that you can read it and kind of brush up on what God has been doing before we have our annual meeting on the 29th of this month. This coming Wednesday, the men will be meeting for an in-person Bible study. And then also next Saturday will be our annual covenant renewal. In the ancient church of Israel, in the Old Testament, every year they would have what we call a covenant renewal ceremony. It's the book of Joshua, for example, when he says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Choose this day." And so we will be having our covenant renewal in celebration of what it means to be a daily disciple of Jesus Christ. Today we're also celebrating, and throughout this month, the ministry of New Life Family Services. This is Sanctity of Human Life Month, and so we remember them in our prayers, and we thank God for the sacred gift of life from conception until the Lord receives us back home into eternity and into His eternal presence. Well, I think those are the announcements that I wanted to highlight for you. Please take note of the others that are in the bulletin or up on the screen as well. Let's rise as we are able for our song, "I Want to Walk as a Child of the Light."
I want to see the brightness of God. I want to
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In the beginning was the Word.
And the Word was with God.
And the Word was God.
In the Word was life.
And the life was the light of all people.
The Word became flesh and lived among us.
And we have seen his glory, full of grace and truth.
Our scripture song, Word of God, come down. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, giver of all that is good, through the power of your Holy Spirit, you abundantly bless your children with gifts for the building up of the body of Christ. Empower us to recognize and value the gifts of others, and through the strengthening of faith, use our own gifts for the work of the kingdom. Through Jesus Christ our Lord,
Amen.
You may be seated for the hearing of God's word.
The first lesson is from Isaiah chapter 62, beginning with verse 1. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not be quiet, until her righteousness goes forth as brightness, and her salvation as a burning torch. The nations shall seize your righteousness, and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no more be termed forsaken, and your land shall no more be termed desolate, and you shall be called My Delight is in her, and your land married. For the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. For as a young man marries a young woman, so shall your sons marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second lesson is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise as we are able for our gospel verse. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the second chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And Jesus said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast." So they took it. When the master of the feast tasted the water, now become wine, and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." This, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Congregation may be seated. We will sing together verses 1 and 2 of our Song of the Day, songs of thankfulness and praise. Changing water into wine, God in man made manifest. The season of Epiphany, the season of light, the season of seeing, of revealing, of showing. So the light abides in us and in and through us for the sake of the world. God invites his beloved bride to distribute the wedding gift of his most holy presence, of his saving love to the world. St. Paul talks about these wedding gifts in 1 Corinthians chapters 12, 13, and 14. But before we get to those gifts in the weeks ahead, let's not forget the wedding in Cana. Because in the scriptures, the Old Testament, as well as the New Testament, marriage is a key metaphor. In other words, in the Old Testament, God Almighty is the husband, is the bridegroom, and Israel is his beloved bride. We hear of that, for example, in Isaiah 62, our first reading for tonight. And in the New Testament, well, it's no secret, Jesus is the bridegroom, and his baptized church is his bride. And to his bride, he bestows the wedding gifts of forgiveness and victory over sin and death and the devil. Amazing wedding gifts for his beloved bride. God in flesh, revealed, shown, made manifest. It's an epiphany moment, and it takes place in a little village called Cana. Cana in Galilee. In the Gospel of John, we find out that the signs are God-given. They are purpose-given, and they are purpose-driven. In other words, the signs are not ends unto themselves, but they have a purpose. And when we get to the end of St. John's story about the incarnation, the Word becoming flesh, St. John will say in chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, now Jesus did many other signs that are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that he is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have Zoe, life, eternal life, everlasting life, in his name. Many signs. Well, before we get to Cana, let's not forget that the Gospel of John is organized in an amazing fashion. It has a prologue, chapter 1. It has an epilogue, chapter 21. It has the Book of Signs, chapters 2 through 12, and the Book of Glory, chapters 13 through 20. And in the Book of Signs, there are 6 signs. But in the Gospel of John, there are 7. Because the manifestation of our Lord's glory is seen on the cross and on the third day. The third day, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there was a wedding in Cana, and you probably noticed in our gospel reading for tonight, on the third day. Well, I'm hoping that that triggered something for you in a positive fashion. Perhaps you've been to a wedding, maybe you've been a participant in one. Maybe you're married yourself, or have been, and lost a spouse. In Cana, on the third day, something is going to happen at an ordinary happening of daily life, at a wedding. What will this something be? Well, the water will be turned into wine. And whatever difficulties or challenges or problems that may come our way in our marriage to Christ, in our earthly marriages, when we have Christ with us, nothing is beyond the possibility and power of Almighty God to bring about goodness. A number of years ago, there was a late-night talk show host called Johnny Carson. Now, some of you may remember that name. Ed McMahon was kind of his sidekick. And on one particular episode of The Tonight Show, Johnny Carson had an 8-year-old. I'm guessing probably about a third grader. And this little boy was on there because he had rescued 2 of his friends from a coal mine in West Virginia. And Johnny Carson had this 8-year-old and said, "Tell us about this. Wasn't it scary? Wasn't it dangerous?" And the boy said, "Yeah." And Johnny Carson said, "So why did you do it?" "Well, because they are my friends. And they needed someone to save them." And the Bible says that God wants us to love our friends the way God loves us. This is a little 8-year-old. And Johnny Carson and the audience, you know, they're kind of snickering a little bit, and they realize this little boy is a Christian. So Johnny Carson says, "You're a Christian, aren't you?" And the boy says, "Yeah." And then Johnny Carson says, "So do you go to Sunday school?" And the boy said, "Yes." "Well, what are you learning in Sunday school?" Johnny asked. "Well, last week, it was the story about a wedding. It took place in a little small town called Cana. And Jesus turned the water into wine." "Wow. So when you went home that day," Johnny said, "what did you take home? What was the message that you learned from that story?" And the boy thought for a moment, and then he said, "If you're going to have a wedding, you better invite Jesus." Yeah. Talk about a no-brainer, huh? But not just to the wedding, my friends. Not just so that he can become a good luck charm when difficulties come our way, but he needs to be invited to the wedding, and more importantly, to the marriage. He needs to be the centerpiece of our homes, the centerpiece of our lives. He needs to be invited into our hearts. When my first grandchild was born, I cradled her in my arms in the Tacoma Hospital, and I sang to her. She was just hours old. "Into my heart, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus." You see, if you're going to have a wedding, Jesus needs to be not only on the guest list, but he needs to be in our hearts. He needs to be the breath that we breathe every single day. There was a wedding in Cana, and I'm guessing that some of you have been to weddings, maybe a lot of weddings. And maybe you were hoping that they would go off without a hitch. You know, no glitches. But when I think about weddings, and I probably have done 300, 400, 500 of them, I think about some of the glitches, some of the little humorous things that happen in this ordinary happening or event of daily life that we call a wedding. I think about, for example, a wedding in Little Falls. We had the rehearsal on a Friday night. Everything went smooth. One of the groomsmen had picked up the tuxes. They were going to leave them into a special room for the guys. And then the next day, of course, they would come, they'd get dressed, and they'd be ready for the wedding. And it was, I think, the mother of the bride who said, "I think you boys should try those on. Because you never know. Maybe something's missing. Maybe it's the wrong size of shoes. But it's better to know now than to be surprised tomorrow." So the guys were kind of rolling their eyes a little bit, but they did what the mother of the bride said. And they put them on, and everybody's coming out, and they're looking in the mirrors, and they're going, "Wow, this is better than expected. I mean, they fit like a glove." And everyone was smiling and happy, and then suddenly someone gasped. And they're wondering, "Well, what's the gasp?" Well, you see, the groom had a white tux, to go with the bride's white dress. And he looked in the mirror and he thought, this fits me like a glove. And then he walked, and on the back of, you know, the sport coat, the blazer, a stain about that big of orange. Oh, man, he was not happy. They called the tux place, it was already closed. The wedding was the next morning. It'll all work out, don't worry. Well, it did work out. They called as soon as it opened. They just happened to have another one, a white one, the exact size that they needed. Glitches can happen in weddings. My wife and I went to a wedding years ago, northern Minnesota. Remember how they were lined up at the Catholic Church like in a V shape? And the priest, the altar was here, he was facing the wall, the altar, and doing the prayers, and because the wedding party was in a V shape, you know, and they were all looking there, and we were out in the congregation standing, and it was time for prayer, but not everyone closes their eyes when you pray. The groomsman that was at the edge, the end of this V, starts to wobble a bit. You know what I'm talking about? And it wasn't because he had been drinking something. You stand, and sometimes if you lock your legs or something, you can get in trouble. And pretty soon, he didn't go, you know, it wasn't a big bang noise, but he said, kind of like a drooping flower. And we all thought in the congregation, little gasp. The priest continued with his prayers, and then the one bridesmaid, she happened to look over and saw it. She gasped. Pretty soon, the whole wedding party is looking. The priest is going on with the prayers. And then they suddenly realize, oh, we need to put this ceremony on pause. Things happen at weddings. You know what I'm talking about. Things happen. This one bride, when I did a wedding, she just went ballistic one time because the place that was having the reception, they had a signboard, and it said, congratulations, Mr. and Mrs., and it had the name, and the name was misspelled. And she just was so moody. This is the day of her wedding. And so I took her aside, and I said, I heard that they misspelled your name. Yes, they misspelled our name at our reception place. And I said, you know, maybe this is a sign. A sign of what? That our marriage is going to go down the toilet? I said, maybe it's a sign that we sometimes lose sight of what matters the most in life. Do you really want to let a misspelled name ruin the joy of this blessed, happy occasion of marriage where your family and friends are here and where Jesus wants to enter into your marriage and in your life together? But they misspelled my name. I said, you know what? You don't worry about it. You just spend your time rejoicing in the gift of this day. I'll take care of it, okay? And I knew the owner of the reception hall. And I called them. And by the time the wedding ceremony was over and we went down there for the food, the name had been correctly spelled. There was a wedding, a dear friend of mine, he was co-officiating with a Catholic priest. And there was a sacristy right outside of the altar area. And they were in there telling each other jokes. And then all of a sudden, there was a knock on the sacristy door. And they opened it up, and it must have been really soundproofed in there, because all the prelude music, the whole processional, the whole wedding party had come up. And they'd been standing there, I kid you not, for 5 minutes. When somebody decided, maybe we should knock on the door and get the priest and the pastor out here. And they did, and they said, would you guys like to join us? We're having a wedding here. Well, What I'm saying is, don't just invite Jesus to be a name on your guest list. He needs to be the centerpiece of your life, your whole life. The breath you take in the morning, the breath that you take throughout the day, the breath that you take as you go to sleep at night. There was a wedding in Cana, and Mary was invited, and Jesus and his disciples were invited, and then we're told that there's a problem. I mean, weddings were community events, sometimes 7 days long. They were big time celebrations. And somehow in the midst of this, the wine ran out. And there's still maybe 2-3 days left of feasting. This is kind of embarrassing. So you start to figure out who we're going to point the finger at and who's going to get the blame. But Mary is calm. She just simply goes to her son and says, Jesus, they got no wine. And Jesus looks at his mother and says, but that's not our concern. That's not our problem. My hour hasn't come. It's not time. It's not time. My hour, what's that about? Well, read the Gospel of John and you'll know. And then Mary, she simply looks at the servants and she says, do whatever he tells you. Wow. Talk about good, sound advice from someone at a wedding. Do whatever Jesus tells you. Now, why would Mary say this? Well, I have my suspicions. You see, Mary was a teenager when she got married. You see, Mary was a teenager when she had Jesus. You see, Mary was visited by an angel. Mary knew all about an immaculate conception. She knew all about a virgin birth. She knew all about magi and about the shepherds who brought this amazing news that she pondered. Mary knows that with God, all things are possible. Do whatever he tells you. And Jesus sees that there are 6 stone jars. Fill them up to the brim with water. All 6 of them? I mean, you could just, you're thinking this, aren't you? You're thinking this. The servants are thinking, all 6 of them? You know how long that's going to take? Fill them up to the brim. And they do. And Jesus said, now take some of that over to the steward of the feast. Taste test. And they obey. And they do it. And the steward tastes it and he says, you've got to be kidding me. This isn't 2-buck chuck. This is the best wine I have ever tasted in my whole life. I mean, we're talking about mega bucks here, folks. Who does this? Nobody does this. I mean, maybe for the first couple of bottles, you know, let people think that they're getting the really pricey stuff, but then go to the cheaper stuff. Who does this? God does this. God saves the best for last. Always. Always. And the steward calls the bridegroom and says, this is amazing, and pats him on the back. But you tell me, if it's the third day, who's the bridegroom in this story? And who's the bride? You know. You know who the bridegroom is. And you know who the bride is. Isaiah says to captive people living in Babylon, no longer will your name be desolate. No longer will your name be forsaken. You're getting married, and you're going to take on your husband's name. Imagine that. So in baptism, what happens? We get married. We get married into the death and resurrection of Jesus. Jesus becomes our bridegroom. We become his bride, and we take on his name, the name which is above every name. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We, you and me, the bride of Jesus. Imagine that. What do you do in life when you have a problem? Well, you might take it to your dentist or to your doctor. You might take it to your lawyer. You might take it to Jesus, the name above every name, because you know that he has wedding gifts for his bride. You know the name Dr. Charles Stanley? He was a pastor for like 50 years in First Baptist Church, Atlanta, Georgia, and then about a year and a half ago, he kind of officially did a video where he said, oh, I'm retiring, but I'm not really retiring. I'm stepping down here. But I know that the one who called me here still has work for me to do, and so my mission will remain the same. And that mission is to give God the glory in everything I do, and to preach the gospel to all the nations so that people that are lost may be found and saved. Dr. Charles Stanley talks about an incident that happened when he was serving during those 50 years in Atlanta, Georgia. They had outgrown their worship space. They needed another facility, but it was going to cost $2 million. What to do? One of the board members, he said, I've talked to a banker. He said, this is a good investment. We need to go and purchase this place for $2 million. And Dr. Stanley says, well, so that's what the banker says. What has the Lord said? So they went on a retreat for the whole weekend. They went to a state park, the leaders of the church. And you know what they did the whole weekend? They waited on the Lord. They prayed. They gave the problem to Jesus. And at the end of the weekend, they didn't have any clear direction. Now what do? They asked Pastor Stanley. He said, we wait on the Lord. About 4 days later, there was a phone call. It was someone that was familiar with Dr. Stanley's ministry. And he said, I noticed that on television, you're not always asking people for money. Don't you need money? Don't you have any needs? And Dr. Stanley says, well, as a matter of fact, it's interesting you should call because we've been praying about something. We need a larger facility. It's going to cost $2 million. And the guy on the phone said, I could take care of that. I'll send a check. It'll be in the mail. What happens when we wait on the Lord, when we take it to Jesus, when we trust that he knows what's best for us always? He always knows what's best for us. Well, it's not just about hocus pocus and good luck and, well, turning a little bit of water into wine. You know, those jars contain 20 to 30 gallons of water. That's maybe like 150 to 180 gallons of wine. You see, when God does something, he doesn't go small. When God does something, he goes big. He goes really big. And did you hear what happens at the end of our gospel? And Jesus manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. You see, a sign, a miracle, it's not the main thing. It's just to give us direction. It's to point us to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The signs are always purpose-given and purpose-driven. In my devotions this past week, I read the story about a woman named Beth, and she was going grocery shopping. And she got to the grocery store, and she noticed that there was this elderly woman with a walker, and she couldn't get up over the curb. And so Beth said, "My life was on pause for like 30 seconds. And I thought, should I do something? But what if I do something and then this woman gets mad at me and she says, 'Get out of my space. I don't need your help. Who do you think you are? How can I trust you?'" She's got all this stuff, Beth says, "it's running through my mind for 30 seconds. And meanwhile, there's a young gal, and she comes over and she helps this woman up over the curb with her walker, and then they go into the grocery store. She said, "My name is Maria. I'm going to help you get your groceries, okay? You tell me what you need." And so for the next 30 minutes, Beth says, "I'm in the grocery store and I'm watching. I don't know what this Maria's agenda was for the day. But she spent as much time as it took and was needed taking care of this elderly woman with a walker." Beth said, "I said a prayer that day. I said, 'Lord, the next time that you speak to me, help me to be like Maria.'" And then Beth said, "You know, even if I had helped this woman up over the curb, I doubt that I would have gone into the store and put my own life on hold and then spent the next 30 minutes reaching up and grabbing items for this stranger that the Lord had introduced me to. It's the third day. Do whatever he tells you." And his disciples believed in him. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. That's not bios. That's zoe. That's eternal life. That's heaven, my friends. And we get a foretaste of it right here on earth in those ordinary daily happenings of life, like in bread and wine, my body broken for you, my blood shed for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. You see? Epiphany. Epiphany. The hour is when Jesus dies and rises for the sins of the world. And we are his bride. Talk about a game changer, huh? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We rise as we are able, and we'll sing verses 3 and 4 of Songs of Thankfulness and Praise. We continue with our confession. In Christ, you've heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation.
We believe in him and are marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit.
Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Build yourselves up on your most holy faith.
Pray in the Holy Spirit.
Keep yourselves in the love of God.
Look forward to the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ.
If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation.
Everything old has passed away. Behold, everything has become new.
God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, let us be reconciled to God and to one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. Uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life. To the honor and glory of your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
Sisters and brothers, rejoice. Mend your ways. Encourage one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Congregation, may be seated. I encourage you, as you are able, to share God's peace safely with others this day and in the days ahead. We don't pass the offering plates, but there is a basket in the back there if you would like to place any prayer needs that you may have, or any tithes that you wish to give in support of God's holy work. Let's prepare our hearts now, then, for receiving our Lord's Holy Supper. Let us pray. Blessed are you, O Holy God. You are the life and light of all. By your powerful word, you created all things. Through the prophets, you called your people to be a light to the nations. Blessed are you for Jesus, your Son. He is your light shining in our darkness and revealing to us your mercy and might. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his preaching and healing, his dying and rising, and his promise to come again, we await that day when all the universe will rejoice in your holy and life-giving light. By your Spirit, bless us and this meal, that refreshed with this heavenly food, we may be light for the world, revealing the brilliance of your Son. Through him, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, both now and forever.
Amen.
I invite you to take the consecrated bread and wine. I invite you to take the label off of the bread portion. Take and eat. This is the body of Christ given for you. And then with the other side of your chalice, take the slip cover off. Take and drink. This is the blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Receive the table blessing. Now may the assurance of our Lord's resurrection and the promise of his coming again strengthen you in faith and keep you in hope unto everlasting life. Amen. I invite you to rise as you are able for our closing prayers.
Let us draw near to the throne of grace, offering prayer and supplication on behalf of the church, the world, and one another. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving your people so passionately. In Christ, you are the bridegroom, and we are your beloved bride. Grant that we may live in this covenant of marriage faithfully. Thank you for the healing and forgiveness that you bestow in Jesus. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, who constantly forms us into Christ's image as his beloved bride. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Adorn your church with faithful teaching and preaching, and with deeds of mercy and reconciliation. Grant that its worship befits the adoration and delight of a bride for her beloved. Give the wedding presents of joy and faithfulness, forbearance and forgiveness to all married couples. Bring healing to homes fractured by sin and suffering. Gather those who are single by choice or circumstance into your loving embrace. Form us all into your big, boisterous, and blessed family. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, for many of our congregations, "we are family" is very literally true. Bind us together with the cords of your love, as well as our kinship ties and traditions. Make this congregation a place where we are adopted into your family and where the bounties of your blessings are lovingly shared with all. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Let your steadfast love and righteousness dwell in the hearts of our elected and appointed leaders, in the minds of all who take counsel for the nations, and in the actions of everyone in positions of authority in our society. Give us grace to share the gifts and skills you have so generously bestowed, especially with the poor and lonely, the suffering and the sorrowing. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We plead on behalf of everyone who struggles with pain, grief, addiction, fear, shame, doubt, or despair. We lift before you this day the needs of those we name.
Gracious Father, we pray for the gift of healing for Paige Johnson, for Elaine Jacobson, for Barb Stephenson, for Bob Meroff, for Daryl Boothin, for Sheldon Bieri. We pray, Lord, that you'd continue to be with Denny and Marjean Demerville, that you would bless Gary and Michael as they celebrate the gift of birthdays. We pray for New Life Family Services, for those who are pregnant and in need of assistance and hope and help. And we pray, Lord, that we would daily come to recognize the sacredness of life and that we might continue, O Lord, to invest our lives in the care of all of life. Lord, we thank you for the good news that Ariana Bonadon has received, that she's cancer-free. And we praise you, O Lord, for that gift for her.
Give them courage to cling to you in times of trouble, and give to those who care for them a double portion of your compassionate and loving spirit. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for all our beloved dead who clung faithfully to your promise of salvation. Dry our tears and ease our sorrow. Give us grace to live in faith toward you and with fervent love for one another. Then, by your great mercy, gather us with all whom your dear Son is pleased to call his bride and his beloved at the table of that marriage feast which has no end. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Graciously hear and generously answer our prayers, dear Father, in accordance with your wisdom and mercy for us. We pray in the name of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You may be seated for our going forth song, All Praise to You, O Lord. You'll notice also that with this song, we'll be singing it to a different tune. Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.